welcome to the Quest Objective podcast, the video games and nerd culture podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Becca.
I'm Mia.
I'm Michael.
I'm Chris.
And this week, this is our first ever episode of the Quest Objective podcast. We've got a bunch of things to do, a bunch of things to talk about, but we're going to be going around the table and introducing ourselves. We're going to start with Becca.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you. So talk about yourself, what you do.
Hi, I'm Becca. I do Becca things. I do arts and games.
Okay. Mia, let's talk about you.
I'm Mia. I'm an artist for Phoenix Fire Art. I'm also one of the main players of Challenge the Gamers, which is a group of us that play games. We do live streams, we do YouTubes, make videos, have fun, and just generally fail, basically, at everything we do. And we enjoy doing it, so that's the important part.
And you've also got a large audience in which to broadcast that to, and broadcast your failings to, so everyone can all be entertained.
Exactly.
Are you not entertained?
Be entertained by my failures.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm a bit of an all-purpose geek. I play games, I try to write about them, I play tabletop games, board games, and read sci-fi. You know, all good nerdy stuff. I also play around with Photoshop and pretend to be an artist, but I'm definitely not in the league of the other guys here. So all-purpose geek is, I think, the best way to put it.
All-purpose geek.
The jack of all geeks.
I think we're all the jack of all geeks in the room at the moment.
Different and jacks.
Yeah.
Chris.
No, I'm Jack.
No, I'm Chris. You're not Jack. You're Mark.
I'm Becca.
And then there's Chris, the house IT guy who, you know, likes to pretend I can play some games every now and then.
It's the IT houses guy.
IT houses guy? What?
We're in the house of the IT guy. I'm the house of the IT.
Yeah, anyway.
Guys.
Yeah, you know, so, you know.
There's a house in New Orleans.
Well, for some reason I thought the Rocky Horror Picture Show, there's a light.
Yeah, I'm anyway. Straight to House of the Rising Sun.
Chris?
But, yeah, I do IT and I play games and I,
you might say you've done IT.
Shush you. And, yeah, you know, just like cool stuff and, yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, me.
What about you?
Anyway, I'm Matt. I am an Australian Twitch streamer as well as a video games journalist that has been around the industry for a better part of a decade. During my day job, I bang my head against the table and answer phone calls. But for the most part, I love video games. I'm absolutely obsessed with them, and they are pretty much my life. What have we been playing, Becca?
What have you guys been playing?
I've been playing Fallout Shelter and some World of Warcraft.
You were streaming that the other night together, when I saw.
Yeah.
The Fallout
I was
Shelter,
trying
yeah.
to squeeze into his screen, but he was like, yeah, no.
Get out.
Yeah.
Too much personal contact going on here.
Mia?
Not much, because I haven't had internet for 2 weeks.
So how's it feel being amongst the wasteland?
Amongst the wasteland was horrible.
You actually had to go out and venture.
I had to go and do things, so, like, just as well Pokemon Go came out, because, like, me and my other half were just like, we've got nothing to do here, let's just go explore outside and find Pokemon.
That Pokemon Go craze, is everyone here on top of that?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was
beta.
Is everyone bored of it already?
Yeah.
Not cool. So much bored of it, but it's that anticipation of waiting for, like, the friends, you know, being able to trade Pokemon, Battle. Like, it's
going to die a horrible death if we don't get Pokemon Battles.
Pokemon Battles, I mean, when I first heard it was announced, the first thing I wanted to be able to do is quit my day job, loiter around at the nearest park, and just pick on little kids wanting to fucking and steal their Pokemon.
Somebody in the UK has actually done that. She quit her day job, I think she's like a nurse or something.
Yeah.
And now for $2,000 a day, she goes out catching Pokemon for
yeah.
other people.
Yeah, I heard this, there's Pokemon walking is a thing apparently. Apparently yeah. they go and they for like $10 an hour or something, but they yeah. walk around, they grab people's phones, chuck them in a bag, just walk.
That's exactly what I can imagine. Walk, someone like weighed eggs. Down with like 50
yeah,
phones.
Yeah, I think it was like $5 for 2Ks, $10, $15, whatever.
Now I'm just going to image of somebody in a trench coat going, you want me to walk?
Yeah. Hey kids, I've got some Pokemon. Do you want to have some Pokemon? Anyway. Yeah.
I got candy. I got plenty of candy.
I've got plenty of candies. Hey kids, I got Pokemon in this van. Would you like to come and see it? Anyway, probably Michael, what have you been playing?
I've run out of Pokeballs in it because I can't walk very often. I can't oh, get no. to the Poke stuff.
Oh no. And so, like, I've just been. Can't do anything.
That's okay. Matt can be your Poke Walker for yeah. free because he can't. Yeah.
Take my phone to the
I don't even pull my own phone to do fucking Poke Walking.
Well, tough.
You're going to have to try. You have to learn.
Michael, yeah.
Yeah,
What board games have you been playing?
Well, I haven't played anything really in a while.
What video games have you been playing?
Video games. I know I've been a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I haven't really gotten hardcore into anything at the moment. I was actually, after the announcement of Sonic Mania, playing some old school Sonic.
Mm.
That's always fun. Although I'm playing the, and this is the ridiculous part, so Sega re-released Sonic 1 and 2 in HD, but only on mobile phones.
Yep.
Now, I got a copy on for Android back when I had an Android phone, but I don't have an Android phone to play it on anymore. And they don't have a PC release. I had to install an Android emulator.
To play it?
Yeah, so I downloaded BlueStacks, logged into my Android account, into my Google Play account, and downloaded it so I could play Sonic 1 in widescreen.
I remember when we were both working at the same company, when those Sonic games were released on Android, we were like going fucking mental.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, like you just sit there while you're on a phone call, waiting, you know, like, you know, playing so Sonic, good. And then, you know, no, I completely understand where you're coming
so
from.
The remakes. But these remakes are actually really good, because it turns out the... Sega's like internal team didn't develop them at all. There's this guy from Melbourne, actually, of all places.
Oh shit!
Okay. Melbourne programmer goes by the name of Taxman.
Taxman.
Yeah, he's been in like the Sonic like fan game like community for years, and pretty much just he reverse engineered the original ROMs and all sorts of stuff. But he built his own game engine to emulate the style of the original Sonic games.
Yeah,
and pretty much put together like Sonic 1 and went to Sega, hey. You should totally make this a thing. And they got him to do the re-release of Sonic CD. And then got him to do Sonic 1 and 2, which for whatever reason only came out on the phones. And he was going to do 3, put together a proof of concept for 3, but they never contracted him for it. Which was really kind of disappointing, because Sonic 3 and Knuckles is like the best part of the series. But Sonic Mania is being made by him. So it's going to play... If it's going to play anything like the remakes he's already made, we know it's going to play like an old school Sonic game. It's going to feel the same.
So you're obviously really excited.
I'm hyped. I'm so hyped for that. But yeah, so I've been playing old school Sonic because I'm hyped for the new Sonic.
Nice to hear about it because, yeah, I'm totally keen for that.
Yeah, I'm really keen to see what happens with that. Other than that, I've been playing Stellaris.
Yes. I remember we were I think either tweeting or talking on Facebook because I was looking at getting... that game from Stardock,
Galactic Civilization 3.
Yeah. And you were like, nah, Stellaris is so much better. And it's like...
Stellaris... I've put a bit of time into Stellaris. It's...
You need the time to put into those games.
You need time to put into them. It's kind of empty in a few places, which is disappointing. Like, it's not got a lot of endgame meat, but I hope with an expansion or two, it's going to kind of live up to its potential, because... It's got the potential to really be like the best sci-fi empire simulator ever.
Yeah.
So hoping that the only thing coming up, I think now, is DLC to add plant aliens into the game.
Okay.
So I might drop $10 on that, maybe. Okay. But it's still lots of fun building empires and fighting, you know, blowing shit up. But that's really what I've been doing.
Right.
Sonic and space.
Sonic and space. How about Sonic in space?
Sonic in space. first.
I'm surprised they haven't called anything that yet.
Well, Sega, don't copyright me. Technically, you know, spoiler alert here, but didn't Sonic 2 finish in space?
So did Sonic 3.
Oh, did it?
Oh my god.
Spoiler for me!
I know.
All the spoilers.
You've
ruined everything.
Legend 94 was when the spoilers for Sonic 3 kind of expired there.
We can't play it now, we know the ending.
I know. It's a waste of time.
Oh, all that classic gameplay out the window.
No. Chris, terrible. Save us, mate.
Me?
Well, save us.
Save us.
Tell us what you've been playing.
Wow, I haven't really been playing a lot. Last time I played some games was a couple of weeks ago when I went to the We Are Red Panda LAN party down in Gawler, and that was actually kind of cool. In fact, well, it's really cool, and, you know, it was really cool to have local game devs, the makers of Project Hovercraft, came out and gave everybody keys to do a bit of beta testing as a group, and man, playing that. I don't know if you've all looked at Project Hovercraft, but it's really cool.
No, you haven't done your job there, because I haven't heard of this until now.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of it. What's
Spook.
It about?
It's not really a story, and it's, you know, it's on its way to being green. I think it's been greenlit. They just haven't released it
on greenlit
Steam.
Greenlit on Steam?
Yeah. But it was a multiplayer-only you know, beta, like the menus were still needing some work and stuff, and I know they were doing a lot of work to prepare it for that. But basically, two teams... five different types of hovercraft. Some of them shoot, it's like freaking Robot Wars, man, except, you know, they hover, and like it's just carnage. And when you've got like 10 people, you know, five side, six side, whatever, just ramming each other, blowing each other up, it was really awesome. And best of all, it's made here in Adelaide by a couple of guys.
Very nice.
So definitely throw some links in there, but I'll go away, check it out, maybe we can talk about it next time.
Yeah, local game development, always into that.
Very
keen. The Hacknet, I met the developer of Hacknet recently, which we'll talk about more about later. But yeah, no, local indie development, love you to bits. Anyway,
what have you been playing, Matt?
What have I been playing? Oh, well, there you go. So I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft Legion.
It's out.
The pre-patch.
Oh, the pre-patch.
So a couple of weeks ago, the pre-patch dropped in, you know, because...
So it's all the Legion changes without any of the Legion content, right?
Yes, that's right. So they basically implemented all of the class changes.
Transmog system.
New transmog system, basically... A lot of the gameplay changes, but none of the actual story.
Yeah. So none of the new locations, none of the new quests.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, get ready for the game while, you know, we get ready
while
to drop it.
While you kind of pay to play test it.
Every single day.
We are 3 days from the release of, well, the early release of the Demon Hunter class.
To interject that, is that why there's been restarts like every night for the last few days? Because that's so annoying.
It is so fucking annoying, because we get on World of Warcraft on our Alliance characters.
And
At 9 o'clock, we get half an hour of fucking questing and then... Realm is going down in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. You have 30 seconds to get the fuck off the server or we'll jump you.
From 5 minutes, they do it every single 15-second interval.
45, 30,
they do
25.
They do it on Eve as well, 25. But like Eve has nightly... I mean, I play Eve a fair bit, and Eve has its nightly shutdowns, but it's like part of the culture, whereas this is like, it's not Tuesday anymore.
Yeah.
Well, so with World of Warcraft, they're supposed to shut down on Tuesday night, but because it's pre-patch, it's trying to make sure that they don't fuck up the launch of the expansion like they have for
every single
expansion. Like, okay, so I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a vanilla player. I didn't start in vanilla.
No, neither did I.
But... I
trust
do
me,
really...
you'll know if they are vanilla players.
They'll fucking
tell you.
But I really do.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy the vanilla content.
Yeah.
Like I've gone back there. Unfortunately, I've had to solo it because, you know.
No one wants to do.
I'm not even soloed anyway. So.
Yeah. But I've gone back and I've done all of the vanilla content. Well, not all of the vanilla content, most of the vanilla content. Yeah. And I really do prefer it to some of the later expansions.
But you're like, never going to get that full experience.
You're not going to get the whole experience of World of Warcraft unless you go back and do all those.
Oh, well, you're not I've going to say, get the same experience actually, anyway, because the raids are so different.
Yeah.
Only ever played low-level World of Warcraft. Like, when I played was about a year ago when I started playing.
When Warlords of Draenor came out, yeah. It was just
it was just before because I never actually got Warlords.
Yeah, that's right. You and Rhiannon were like,
But I leveled a Tauren Paladin.
Yeah,
Now, the only time I played before that would have been just after Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
So playing the early level content, like post, I guess, post Cataclysm when they redid all the early level stuff, was really interesting because the grind was a whole lot less.
Yeah.
And just the way they'd completely redone... Funny, because with my Tauren character, I got out of the Tauren starting area, and I ended up doing all of, like, the Orc starting area quests, just to grab extra experience.
Yeah.
And my first World of Warcraft character, all the way back in 2007, was an Orc, Warlock. So doing that original section, the way they'd redone it, was really interesting to see the difference, and again, how kind of smoother the experience was.
Yeah. Well, you'll be delighted to know that some of the... sort of pre Wrath of the Lich King sort of feel to the game is actually returned.
Oh, that's interesting.
Even though it is diverting off from a different part of the timeline, we'll talk more about World of Warcraft.
Wasn't Illidan killed off in Burning Legion?
No, he wasn't killed.
Captured?
Yeah.
Expand on it.
Shit. anyway.
So, because Illidan's coming back, I was thinking that might be why it's got the same similar feel.
The announced trailer that they brought out for World of Warcraft Legion, it depicted Gul'dan finding the Tomb of Sargeras.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds a green crystal, like a big green crystal. Puts his hand to it.
Was it the dark crystal?
No.
No. It was the
It was dark, but it wasn't, yeah. It was a green crystal. He puts his hand to it. It starts glowing. And then all you can hear is this dramatic music. It's like it's glowing green. And then all of a sudden, purple swirls on the chest. Green. And you can instantly tell, oh my god, that's fucking Illidan.
Except the green swirls.
No, I thought it was purple.
No, green.
Oh, no, that's right. He's purple. He's got green swirls. Yep. Yes. That's
your
right.
Green nipples as well. Poking.
I'm like, sorry to hear that.
You got green nipples around here.
Anyway, yeah, so...
wait, wouldn't Gul'dan have green nipples? He's,
we're not talking about Gul'dan, we're talking about Illidan.
No, I don't think that much about fictional characters, personally.
I don't really think about their nipples.
Well, he took his shirt off in the movie.
Anyway.
he was stabbed.
For an old guy.
for an old warlock, he was built.
Yeah, like that fell energy, man. It's like fucking steroids. Anyway, so I've been playing a bit of World of Warcraft. We'll talk about that in a bit more. Other games that I've been playing, anything that I've really been streaming, basically.
What have you been streaming?
Everything.
Buck?
Buck. Yeah.
Yes. Overwatch.
What's Buck?
Talk about Buck.
Buck.
Buck is awesome.
Buck. Yeah, so Buck is a game that we've been I've been live streaming more so recently. It's an indie game that's made by three guys, two of them from the United States, one of them from
Israel.
That's it. Yeah. I was about to say Turkey and somewhere in the Middle East.
Not again.
Yeah,
Israel.
No, I'm
let's
very.
Not, let's not do that.
They got upset.
Let's not get that wrong.
Anyway, so it's a game that is the main character is based on the game designer's dog. Yeah. And it's set in a post-apocalyptic sort of scenario, 2D fashion, very much like Fallout.
Very noir.
Noir sort of style, like, oh my god, I've got to go up cheesy. This ladder, and I've got to shoot these guys, and
they
holy
never
crap, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Turn off the narration repeat,
We never called it Old Town.
Oh my god, thank fuck they took on
There's a reason we called it Old Town.
Yeah, there's a reason we called it Old Town. It was meant to mean something special. Holy shit, I'm really repeating myself.
I've only heard this cutscene 3,000 times.
To be fair, it is very early stages.
Yes.
And I don't think they've had many other people. And obviously, because they know the game, this is one thing. The reason they do beta testing is because they know the game or the parts of the game, so they don't think about things like that. So
they know
when Matt was failing over and over and over and over again, and we were forced to listen to this cutscene
over
and over
again.
They
have to do that anyway in development, so that you switch off from that bothering.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
The incredible thing about these guys is that they were actually in my live stream with us.
Oh, they came
out. That's cool.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
So you've had another Hitman scenario.
Yeah,
this happened before that.
Happened before Hitman.
Yeah.
So I've been live streaming Buck. And then, because I tweeted at the Buck account, you know, hey, I'm live streaming this on Twitch, you know, come have a watch. Their PR guy was like, He joined the chat and he goes, do you want me to get the developers in here? I'm like, fuck yes! And so he got all three of the developers in there. Oh, nice. The programmer, the art guy, the sound and...
No, they didn't have the art guy because that's Gal's brother and he wasn't there at the time.
Right.
No, I thought he was in there briefly, but he had to go.
Yeah. No,
because I know we had... Dissonance.
We had Dissonance Core, Gal... Gal K. And some other guy, as well as the PR dev, David, from UK.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure we had four, but one of them dropped.
Said who's
anyway,
artist.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah, anyway, so they were in there taking live feedback from the stream. Like, hey, you know what would be really, really cool here, guys? If you were to implement a skip cutscene function, because I've listened to this thing so many fucking times. And he goes, good idea. Write that down. Put that on the card.
That's awesome. And that's so cool.
The ladder. Implement the ladder.
Yeah, implement the ladder. It's like...
And the time you press the new game.
Yeah, when I press the new game, it goes, do you want to start a new game? And it's like, no. And then it started the new game anyway.
No, it didn't give me are you sure?
Yeah, it didn't give me the are you sure. It just went, new game. And it's like, guys, there needs to be some sort of confirmation menu there. Cool, we'll put it down. Dissonance score, put it on the cards.
That's so cool. That's cool.
Have you seen those things implemented?
Like, to be able to have that direct influence on the game development process. That's really cool.
And they were implemented the next week.
Controller
support. Oh my god. Like, when I was playing it, the first time that I was playing it, I was really internally frustrated at the game because there was no. The controls were really janky on the mouse and keyboard, right? On the Xbox controller, it's really, really good. But the Xbox controller came later. Now, as I was going through the game in the very, very early build, and I was getting really, really far towards the end of the demo, they were like, you're actually doing really, really well, considering half the combat system isn't implemented.
Yeah.
So like, you're just going around with weapons only, you're scavenging as much fucking ammunition as you can.
Yeah.
You're doing really, really well. Cool. Melee system, that's going to completely change that.
They need to implement better... healing balance and things items as well.
The healing balance, like you would eat like a rusty steak or some shit. I don't know.
Whatever you picked up.
It's a can of something.
A can of something. You would eat that. It would say restores 30% of your health, but it was like so fucking slow to fucking regen your health. And
you
it was like
sit in between battles.
Yeah, sit in between battles, waiting for it to regen. Yeah. You'd eat multiple items, and like I was doing, like I got to the end of the demo. By doing all of that, and they're like, dude, you pretty much already beat the demo on what we would call the hardest difficulty.
If they only added that ladder in, you would have been able to complete the demo.
Yeah, exactly, because it was like only another couple of steps afterwards.
But it was really good to actually have them in the chat. They were actually really interested in not just from a player's point of view, but as us watching it as well, what we thought of, like, the art style. Because I don't think the guy that does the graphics has really had that much feedback on his art style or anything.
Yeah.
So for him, it was like, we're like, oh, I love the way this looks and how that all works and everything. And I think we complimented the...
We complimented the art style.
The art style and the voice acting as well.
I said that voice acting.
Oh, that's my brother. Like, that's not even going to be the final voice acting. We're like, no, keep it. It's fine. Love it.
I actually said to him that over the stream, it's like, yeah, no, I don't really... I'm not too sure about the voice acting. It's like, I don't know. It sounds very cheesy.
Get Matt to do it. You need to go back to them and say, I've got this amazing voice.
I've got this amazing voice.
But it wasn't the thing because Matt was calling it cheesy, but that was the whole noir.
Yeah.
We intended it to be like that.
Yeah, we kind of nailed that one then.
Yeah. The other game that I've been playing is Hitman, which, as we were talking about before, we've also had another developer interaction for that.
That's pretty cool.
The main developer account on Twitch for the new Hitman.
Yeah. So for IO Interactive?
Huh?
IO?
Yeah. Like the account's just called Hitman.
Yeah.
They're in the stream, and me and Becca were sitting there going na 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 ah, I hear you like bananas or something
no,
like that.
No, I don't think there's an implementing a banana patch.
Yeah, there's no banana DLC planned.
No banana but, DLC. But what would you like to see in a hypothetical banana DLC? And they were tweeting it out as well to, yeah, like, to like, well, I'm going to say the Twitterverse because I don't know what the fuck to call it.
Well, Twittersphere. There you go. Hilariously, we were talking about all this like Banana Man, the old character.
Banana gun.
And he's like, wouldn't this be hilarious if that was actually the Hitman account? He's like, clicks on it. Oh my god, it actually is the Hitman account. Oh my god.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
And like, it's just really, really fun. Like, just with streaming some of these games and having the developers come in. It's
pity we missed the Gary Busey one.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, no, I'm seriously. Disappointed. No shit. Like,
I'm so disappointed.
I'm so disappointed too because it expired the day before.
I'm disappointed in you.
Don't be disappointed in me.
You promised me.
I know.
Didn't have internet.
Hitman. I know. Hitman had an update. Was it what 24-hour?
No, it wasn't 24-hour. Like so if you start it, you've got 24 hours to complete it. It's,
oh, okay.
It's what's called the elusive target. So it's basically a character that appears for a week. You can start the mission anywhere within 7 days.
Yeah.
As soon as you start it, you have 24 hours to complete it. If you fucking die, you can't do it. If you fail it, you can't do it.
But it means you get an exclusive achievement on
You get an exclusive achievement on your thing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to stream this on Friday. You know, I'm going to have plenty of time. And I log in on the Friday and it's like,
10 gig.
Where the fuck is it?
No, you had check the internet. You couldn't do it because you had the 10 gig update.
That's right. Because on the Friday beforehand when it was released, they had the 10 gig update and I couldn't get that done before the stream.
Yeah.
So it was like, bullshit. Anyway.
And then missed it. Sorry.
Australia net problems.
Yeah. Hashtag.
Yeah.
Thanks, Turnbull.
Oh, we're going to have to cut that, aren't we?
No. Anyway.
Somebody tweeted it many times.
I think that was about what you were playing and we were talking about.
Yeah.
The Legion.
And Overwatch.
Legion! Overwatch ranked, but then we'll talk about it another time. Anyway, so yeah, Legion. Legion. We were talking about World of Warcraft earlier.
Illidari.
So World of Warcraft is coming out with its 7th expansion. I think it's the
7th.
I think it's 7th. So we've got Vanilla, Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King,
Cataclysm.
Mists of Pandaria, Warlords of Draenor, and then. Legion.
So six.
Six expansions.
Technically six.
Seventh version
of the game. It's version 7.
But you counted Vanilla.
Yeah, he counted Vanilla, which makes it 7. If you count that in its own iteration. It's the 6th expansion pack, but the 7th, like...
No, because he counted Vanilla as an expansion.
Technicalities.
That's why he
doesn't matter. Anyway. Version 7 of World of Warcraft, or Legion... sees the return of the Burning Legion, which is, you know...
The big bad from Warcraft 3.
The big bad guys from Warcraft 3. Demons and shit. If Sam and Dean were here, they'd be having a fucking field day. And Mia here, you won't be able to see that here on the podcast, but she's wearing a Moose and Squirrel t-shirt. Yay her.
Sam and Dean
are the Winchesters for life. As she says that by stroking her chest.
Just I can do what I like with it. Cut that out of the podcast.
the Burning Legion's returning thanks to Gul'dan. So at the end of Warlords of Draenor, at the very last raid, you face Archimonde. Archimonde,
yep.
One of the lieutenants of Kil'jaeden, I believe.
No. Well, I don't know if they see... They keep changing the lore.
Lot of the Burning Legion, like, consistency Archimonde is still the same.
Okay. In Warcraft 3, Archimonde was the head of the Burning Legion.
Right.
He's the one who destroys Dalaran.
Right, okay. So where does Kil'jaeden come into it, being above Archimonde?
I don't know, because Kil'jaeden would have been one of his lieutenants back then.
Always Kil'jaeden's fault.
Right, so
Kil'jaeden's always kind of the deceivery one who kind of tends to be the one who's meddles and gets people corrupted. He's very much the corruptor. That's why, again, in the original lore, he's the one who corrupts Gul'dan. He's the manipulator. He's the manipulator. Archimonde was the head. He was the big bad, because he's the one that they have to kill climbing Mount Hyjal and the Tree of Life or whatever. With all the wisps.
Again,
the Warcraft 3. But again, I don't know my post-Warcraft 3 lore so well. I know there were some change-ups in all of that. because they made all the big changes to Sargeras and all that kind of got rewritten. So I don't know why Kil'jaeden would be above Archimonde.
Alright, so at the end of Warlords of Draenor, in the final raid of Hellfire Citadel, the final boss was Archimonde.
Right.
So you go through... as a prelude to the Hellfire Citadel raid, it was basically the Iron Horde had taken over Draenor, they were running rampant, and they basically cast Gul'dan out. Gul'dan offered them power with Fel Blood from the blood of Mannoroth. Grommash turned that away.
Yeah.
Right? Because he had insider information from Garrosh, his son, in the other timeline, he didn't have in this timeline.
Yeah.
So Garrosh...
Because that's the big story for Grom, is his corruption and he's overcoming his corruption.
Yeah.
That's like the best cutscene in Warcraft 3.
Yeah. It's also, funnily enough, the best cutscene of Warlords of Draenor. That intro cinematic is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But... So he basically says, you know, no, I'm not going to fucking drink the demon's blood. Mannoroth comes out and goes, you mongrels, I'm going to kill you, or some shit. I can't remember the actual lines, but the cinematic is fucking amazing. If you haven't seen it, check it out on YouTube, it's there. But anyway, he turns that away. Gul'dan basically scurries off to the shadows, whatever. Comes back later on as an alternate faction that's versing the Iron Horde. Mm. Then he somehow takes over the Iron Horde, corrupts some of the Iron Horde lieutenants like Nazul, Blackhand, and all of this other stuff. All of the old school orcs. But Grommash doesn't take the demon blood. He's still pure orc by the end of the expansion.
Wasn't that because his son went back in time and...
Yeah. But Grommash was still hell bent on fucking up Azeroth.
That caused the split.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a
split timeline. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the start of the expansion of Warlords of Draenor, Grommash is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Right, because he hasn't taken the demon blood. He's versing Azeroth.
Yeah.
He's invading.
He's leading this new Iron Horde.
But he gets dethroned in a short sense.
By Gul'dan.
Gul'dan, just towards the release of the Hellfire Citadel patch, Gul'dan basically turns all of Tanan jungle, which is what eventually becomes the area around where the Dark Portal was in Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
He turns that all into a fell sort of forest
wasteland.
With like fell wasteland with like fell rivers and shit
that's
like that.
That's awesome.
And if
corrupted
animals, corrupted everything.
Demons.
Corrupted demons. And there's like the part of the scene where in the cut scene where you see Grommash swipe away the cup or the goblet of the demon blood. You actually can go visit that in Tanan jungle, because at the end of that, they've got Supreme Lord Kazik, which is a world boss.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, Hellfire Citadel. You go through all the different bosses of Hellfire Citadel. You've got fucking all the different corrupted guys and stuff like that. But the end boss is Archimonde.
Yeah.
Once you kill Archimonde, the end part of that cutscene, he basically picks up Gul'dan, who's like suspended in animation, throws him through a black gate, like a green gate, black gate, and we don't see where he goes. We don't see where what happens to him.
That's where Legion's picking up.
That's where Legion's picking up. Yeah. With that, at the end of the game, or at the end of that raid, what's his name? Fuck. The wizard.
Medivh.
No, not Medivh.
Khadgar?
Thank you. Khadgar. Yeah, no, I'm like, I don't know the fucking name. He's from Stargate. Oh my god. And he's voiced by the guy from Stargate. The fuck, now I forget his name. Anyway, fuck it.
Sidetrack.
Anyway, Khadgar is like, oh, this is not going to be the last we're going to see of Gul'dan. He's going to turn up somewhere. So at the end of that expansion, in between the expansions, Khadgar is searching for Gul'dan. Doesn't know where the fuck he's gone.
Interesting.
He's disappeared. He's trying to find him. He then, this is where the audio series comes in, which had just been released by Blizzard. So
Tony Amendola.
Huh?
Tony Amendola.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Tony Amendola. Oh. Anyway, so. Blizzard recently released a four-part audio series of Khadgar trying to find Gul'dan. But it starts where Gul'dan washes up on the shores of the Broken Isles, which the original Gul'dan raised from the dead.
Yeah, that's where he finds the Tomb of Sargeras.
Tomb of Sargeras. That is still there. But that doesn't make any sort of appearance in World of Warcraft at all, until now.
Yeah, until now, yeah. That's all, wow.
The alternate dimension Gul'dan is being led there by the voice of Kil'jaeden in his head, right?
Right.
So, it, like... Shut up!
Didn't say anything.
Anyway, so if you haven't listened to the audio series, go listen to it. It's fucking amazing.
It is. It's well done.
It's really well done. It's voiced by, you know, one guy.
It's got the different voices for the
different voiceover effects, so you can tell the different people.
Yeah,
but...
and it's got background noise and ambient noise.
And,
great.
And
so it's not just a straight audio book. Yeah, it's really done as like a radio play.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And it basically details a fight between Gul'dan and Khadgar.
The first one?
The first fight between the two of them.
No, there's three parts to it.
No, there's four parts.
I wasn't sure if it was all one big thing, or
it's a one big thing,
broken
yeah.
into different pieces.
It's a big part of the story that's separated into four chapters.
Right. Yeah.
But it basically, Gul'dan washes up on the shore of the Broken Isles.
I don't go into it too much.
Yeah, not going to go into it too much. Not going to provide spoilers, but the amount of pre-release content that Blizzard are coming up with.
Yeah,
fucking
it's
insane
amazing.
For this one.
It's like what they did. I mean, Warlords. Again, I never got around to playing Warlords, but the amount of pre-release on that, all those animated shorts on all of the all of the different clans.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, that's so good.
That's made a return into the Legion pre-expansion stuff.
Yeah.
They've made the Harbinger series, which is a four-part animated series. They've done Gul'dan. No, they're bringing out a fourth one. That's where they're in it. Yeah, they're doing Gul'dan. Well, sorry, they've done Gul'dan. They're doing Khadgar.
Illidan.
Illidan and his Illidari, the demon hunters that he raises.
Yeah.
And then there's a fourth one that we haven't seen yet.
And it's the missing pieces.
Yeah, they're really building up that lore.
Maybe it'll be something on the demons. Maybe on
the actual demons.
Well,
they were a bit in the Illidari.
But it'd be interesting. From the Burning Legion's perspective, would be interesting.
Yeah.
As long as they don't take away my garrison, but they will.
Well, they've already said they're going to be making that redundant anyway.
My garrison. I don't have to look at
garrisons people. Are being replaced by guild halls. They're not guild halls.
Class halls.
So you're like a room full of only paladins.
Class halls.
Okay.
Right. Huh?
Right. Glass
yep.
holes.
Glass holes. You're a glass hole. So a class hall filled with only paladins, a class hall for shamans, a class hall for warlocks, class hall for this, that, and the
Stop
other.
Stop saying class hall.
Please. Stop it!
Stop poking me.
I'm not that kind of orc. anyway. There's a lot of
army, they say. See the world, they say. I'd rather be sailing. good old Warcraft 2.
I've got to go back and
need to whip that out. Don't
ready to work.
You've obviously been playing some of the pre-release patch as well, Beck.
A little bit, yeah.
What's your take on it?
The thing I'm getting used to mainly is their change in the class. The whole abilities and stuff.
Yep.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, so the Warcraft patch has brought a series of changes. That it's brought class changes and stuff like that. I've been personally getting used to some of the stuff with like warlocks and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, you said your demonology is much better now.
Yeah, so I've never really played warlock before now. Yeah. I actually used my 100 boost on him, so I'm just getting used to it. Yeah, that's really frowned upon. Boosting a character you don't have any fucking idea how to play.
But you're not actually raiding with him yet. You haven't raided in a couple of months.
No, I haven't raided in a couple of months since the guild fell apart. So.
And practice with him before we go raiding.
Yeah.
And not use the boost on the Illidari like everyone else is going to.
You know, that seems like a bit of a waste going from, 90 to 110. That seems like a bit of a fucking waste.
No, I can imagine the people coming in using their 100 straight on the Illidari.
Yeah, that's going to be dumb.
Yeah, they're going to put. They're going to put.
But with the Warlock, because that's what I'm planning to main as with this expansion. Demonology has always received the arse end of the stick when it comes to class changes. Yeah. It is now at the very fucking top of the DPS charge for the Warlock class.
That's pretty cool.
Mm.
And it's basically spawn lots of demons, buff them up so their abilities are increased by a certain amount of percentage.
And just watch the wreck your enemies.
And watch the wreck train.
Pretty much like the Necromancer in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It pretty much. It's like spawn, yeah. Buff! But, like, there are certain talents on the Warcraft... Not on the Warcraft class. The Warlock class that... You spawn an enemy, and if you're doing a certain amount of damage or something like this, it spawns another demon on top of that demon. Like the snap demon hound thingies with the little tentacle
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you can spawn imps on them.
So they're doing fire bolts while they're attacking that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that little riders?
Yeah, like you, you spawn all the little dog things, and you spawn the fucking imps on them. Then you spawn the two giant demons, the fucking crashing down demon,
the Doom Guards,
the Fel Guards,
Infernals, or whatever.
I can't remember what they're called, the Infernals and the Fel Guards and stuff like that. But that's cool. Many changes are coming. I'm probably going to write something on questobjective.com, so you guys should totally you should totally go and check that shit out. Do you like prizes?
Do you like games?
Do you like to win competition? Yes.
To enter and be in the running to win a copy of Bastion on Steam, head on over to facebook.com/questobjective. Find the post advertising episode 1 of the podcast and comment the name of the character in which game is featured in the following sound clip.
It did not take long for my master to realize his mistake. By then, I had already terminated 104 corporate officers. Statement: it was nothing really, master. The majority of them were not even expecting it, and I moved very quickly.
How'd you go? Can you identify who that was and what game the clip was taken from? If you do, find us on Facebook and let us know for your chance to win. That's facebook.com/questobjective.
Okay, so recently Becca and I went to the AvCon 2016 convention, and I must say it was much better than last year.
To be fair, we didn't get much of a chance last year to look in there.
To be fair, it sucked.
We were stuck outside in a line for an hour and a half. By the time we got inside, we were just too tired.
And you had a better experience this year, obviously.
Definitely.
Yes, much better.
We did the full opening ceremony and everything.
Did you do both days or just...
I couldn't because by that time my legs have locked up so much I could barely walk.
Oh, no.
So I sent Matt off because it was his birthday as well. So I told him to go have fun and buy me a Bulbasaur.
Did he have a hot dog on my behalf? He did.
Oh,
it's sitting on our bed, actually. So.
Yeah.
Good job. So for those that don't know, that's Adelaide's Anime and Video Games Convention.
Yeah.
Which has been around how long now?
I think about 10 years, well over.
Yeah, 2005, 2006.
I think about
07 when it was still at the Adelaide Uni.
On their website they have the whole history and where it was held and
Well, it started just as a the anime club.
Yeah, it was the anime club.
It was basically people in a room watching anime together.
And then the video game guys playing Halo got involved.
And now it's taken over the Adelaide Convention Centre. Was it bigger this year?
It was. They basically took the entire convention centre that they've had in past years. And the new developments that they've had.
The new expansion, yeah.
And they've put the entrance around to the west side on West Terrace.
Oh, okay.
So
that's probably the biggest shit of the park.
It is annoying, but it does allow you to go straight to the main hall within seconds instead of going all the way around in the building.
If you're getting dropped off by a cab or a car, it'd probably be pretty good. You have to walk all the way around.
Well, we found the elevator this year, which was useful.
Yeah, fuck climbing those fucking stairs.
We did that last year.
The escalators that randomly stop.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they didn't even have those around the side. They just have the stairs.
They randomly stopped on the Sunday.
So what did you see? What was new? What was awesome?
We went to see Unlisted Leaf.
Unlisted Leaf, who's an Adelaide YouTuber who made a career off of
opening Pokemon cards.
Opening Pokemon cards.
Oh, really?
Like he's like,
The panel itself was called Do You Want a YouTuber Career? And so me and Matt obviously went to go find out how to be famous. And we hadn't heard of this guy at all. And so it was quite interesting. And we found out we were just on a snippet in one of his videos because we were in the audience, and it just panned slightly onto us just before it cut out. So that was awesome.
You're famous already.
I had to subscribe to him because of that. It's like, I can't not.
I haven't subscribed to him yet.
Yeah.
He's
got quite a few things about Pokemon Go at the moment. Lots of opinions. He's quite cool with the little kids. And
I think I might have been slightly getting on his nerves during that panel.
No, I don't think so, because you were asking technical questions while the kids were like, what's your favourite Pokemon? What game do you like?
What kind of technical questions are you
asking? I was more asking him, like, you know, what file format, what was the average sort of file size you would normally upload? What program do you normally export your videos to?
This is before we got the Razer. Before we got the Razer.
Yeah.
You and two kids were battling for the question time.
I will beat you, young one!
And they had, like, shirts on, Team Ando. So you knew they were there for them.
Yeah.
For him.
So did you go and see any other panels, or...?
I went to the Good Game panel, actually. The guys from Good Game TV.
And the D1 DLC.
Our...
Local Adelaide guys.
The Bromeos from Adelaide podcasting scene.
Yeah. The guys from Hacknet.
I also met the developer from Hacknet, yes. So that was a game that I reviewed for Sticky Trigger. I gave it a fairly high score, I believe.
Yeah, I even brought it after you.
I bought it for you.
I got you to buy it for me once I saw you playing it.
So Hacknet is a just for those who don't know, it's a game where you simulate yourself as an elite hacker trying to uncover the mystery of surrounding this fellow hacker's death.
Got an old school typing RPG kind of feel.
It's very much like Uplink, but it's so much better.
And it's definitely have a too. Zorg feel.
Better than Uplink.
Yeah. Like, you can type in open CD tray.
Okay, you got me with that.
My NZXT 8 Phantom 8 20K that I've got in my room, right? I had the cover closed and I did open CD case.
He just heard a noise and had no idea what it is.
What the fuck was that?
That's very cool. But yeah, that has me sold on Hacknet then.
It's got things like Yasuo, Razer.
Like the Hackerson, you know?
What about Format C?
You gotta go in and you gotta erase it.
Format C. No, that doesn't work. But there are, like, some viruses you can plant and shit like that, and, you know, wipe hard drives and shit.
You have to erase all your history.
Yeah.
Because every time you go somewhere, it will load a file. Server logs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it provides an almost authentic hacker experience. I don't know what it's like to be a hacker.
Oh, well,
I would imagine that's what it's like being a hacker.
A lot of the command line commands, if you're familiar with Linux, then it bases it off of all those sort of commands.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Like, yeah, I've always found Hackerson to be fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember. There's one that I got cheap on Steam, and it's kind of flashy, but there's not much substance to it.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool, and it makes you really want to get into it, because, there's not actually really much going on. Where Uplink, you know, it's so old now, but it's so engaging, because it just pulls you in from the start that, oh, hey, I've just got a random email, and it, you know... blossoms from there.
That's pretty much how Hacknet starts. Like,
cool. It just plays that convention straight.
You get like you're randomly hacking a server, and then you find like a file from.
But it starts with your PC, and then you have to search and scan the area, and then you find another PC that might have a file on it that can link you to another file.
You're basically doing the bidding of a dead guy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Like,
you get an email and. They give you quests and things to follow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
But meeting the developer of that one, because that was the D1 DLC panel that they had.
Yeah.
Was the Hacknet in the indie game?
It was in the indie game section. I didn't actually see Matt.
The indie games room.
Yeah, he was in the indie games room, but I didn't actually get to see him there. I saw him at...
I know D1 DLC, I've been doing a lot of stuff with them. And they've actually uploaded... I'd go definitely check out their YouTube channel. They did a very good coverage of AFCON and a lot of interviews that they had with people. Very good content. Definitely gives us room to lift our game. But definitely go check them out. They're doing some really great stuff and doing really good stuff for the local Adelaide gaming scene. Mm. So go check them out.
Yeah.
Did you get to chat with the guy at the Hacknet Grind?
Yeah, so I got to have a bit of a chat with Matt, who's the developer of... Sorry?
They said there was an update coming.
Yeah, there's a new DLC patch coming out for it soon, that he was quite happy to announce then. But during the D1 DLC panel that they had, it was game developers versus the games media.
Yeah.
Who is more important?
Yeah.
The ideology of the video games journalist is that without us, you wouldn't have the fan base that you do because we wouldn't be reporting on it. Whereas the video games guys were like, without us, you wouldn't have any content to write to report on it.
Yeah, it's interesting because...
It was a debate.
Yeah, it's a very interesting debate. Because... And it's sad that, you know, there's a naive part of me that wants to say, yeah, but you only need games journalists to keep AAA developers honest. Mm-hmm. But I think Steam Greenlight and Kickstarter and that has proven that indie devs can be just as dodgy.
Yeah.
And that's not a slight on indie development, because video gaming would die without indie development.
Of course.
But then again, indie there are some amazing developers can be as good as...
Exactly. Exactly. And I'd say in a lot of cases, you know, the good indies are better than the good AAA stuff.
Definitely. They just don't get the media.
But there is so much scamming and bullshitting and dodgy stuff out there.
How many fucking Minecraft clones have we seen?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean,
Bot Quest.
People, you know, monetizing. There was that big problem about monetizing, you know, Minecraft servers, even, where you had to pay for access and stuff like that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the Mojang had to come down on that pretty hard.
Wow.
Yeah, pay for access.
Why didn't I think of that?
They actually had to change their...
I think the terms and services.
And end user license.
Yeah, I remember having to agree to that with the new the Minecraft server I've got. So. Yeah.
It's because a lot of people were basically...
Running premium servers.
Yeah, where users would pay and they would get, you know, diamond armor with all of the buffs, whereas everybody that's free to play is running around in... with wooden swords. And
so trying to create, like a free-to-play MMO environment.
It was upsetting the balance...
Mm.
So Mojang turned around and went,
and it's people profiting off of Minecraft in a way that's straight up not fair.
Mm.
Yeah. You can have people pay for cosmetic changes. So like you can have custom skins or, you know, the premium diamond armor still has the same stats, just looks a lot fancier. That's fine. But if they're paying to get diamond armor while everyone else is running around in leather, that's upsetting the balance, and we're not having that. And they were cutting off anyone who was still sticking to that model.
But, you know, when you get stuff like that, and I think at the end of the day, in the modern game development world, they need both. Yeah, exactly. The content doesn't exist without the developers. I mean, if there's no one developing video games, there's nothing for the commenters to comment on.
Yeah.
Whereas if, I don't know, games media, and especially, I guess, the good games journalists are in the business of keeping the development and the publishers honest.
Well, the way I've always seen games journalism in this respect, and I won't bang on too much about this because I could tend to do that, but I've always seen, especially as somebody who's worked in that profession, that the role of the games journalist, the role of the journalist or the critic, per se, is to keep... To inform the consumer to make a with information about a product so they can make their own sort of
choice.
Informed choice about that product before forking over their hard-earned cash.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking reference from Jim Sterling about that. you know, and what you've said, you know, some developers can be really dodgy cunts. The debate itself was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that would have been really, really interesting.
I don't remember the end result.
Do you know if there's a video? Did Day One DLC have a video
about it? I do believe they did a video of it, yes.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. Check that out.
Also saw the Good Game panel as well.
Yep.
I got to stand up and ask the team a question and make an absolute fool of myself. so basically, I was standing in line.
One of our friends recorded it.
Yeah, one of our friends recorded it and, you know, put it up on the interwebs. I'll probably download it and put it on the...
Can you, find that for us?
Yeah. I'll put it on the Quest Objective website, and, you know, can have a bit of a laugh. It's not very good audio, but, you know, it's a camera phone. What the fuck gives? But basically... standing in line and one of the guys before me was like, what is a game that you would banish from, you know, video game universe if you could? And what was his name? Nick Boy, N-I-C-H Boy,
yeah,
the guy that does GG Pocket or GG something on YouTube, like Pocket, the news. Yeah, GG Pocket. He basically said Elder Scrolls Online, and I turned around, and he goes, and he's like, oh, I pissed somebody off. and then I get up to the line, I'm like, all right, hey guys, my name is Matt, and Nick Boy, I thought you were cool. And he goes, are you the guy that was really annoyed about the Elder Scrolls? Yeah, but I've kind of calmed down now. But I basically started making recommendations. Like I said, because Hex loves indie games, like, you know, fantastic sort of art style, like Buck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I turned around and said, Hex, check out, you know, Hollow Knight, made here in Adelaide, you know, check out our awesome developers, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I ended up asking, you know, one simple question. It's like, guys, I've got one simple question for you. Are you guys going to be playing Legion when it comes out? Bajo, Nick Boy, and Goose Mangus, or Goose Ronald. They all popped up and they're like, yes! Yeah, oh my god, yes, we're going to be playing Legion. And it's like, and I just instantly turn around and go, 3 days! Or no, 2 days! It's like, what? It comes out in 2 days. No, no, the pre-patch drops in 2 days. I can't even renew my subscription. And then I'm like walking off. And it's like, well, thank you for your question, your recommendations, and your insults. You're welcome! so fun.
That's one of the things I love about Avcon is that it doesn't matter how like big a developer are in that space.
They're just
down surrounded by those people. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Down,
I mean, no, it was it last year they had like Jaden Ryan from Cheese TV.
Last year they had some crappy guests. That's why we didn't like it very much. They had like two cosplayers and a voice actor.
They had Jennifer Hale.
I didn't know who she was until afterwards.
Yeah.
And then Yahya Khan apparently was so rude to everyone.
Yeah, no, I've never been a fan of Yahya Khan.
And
I don't like professional cosplayers.
Professional cosplayers. I don't get how professional cosplayers have become like gaming celebrities on the same level as voice actors and developers. Like,
they put on a costume, they sell prints.
Was it our shirt we're gonna do? Is like, onesies does not equal cosplay.
Get on that.
That needs to go on a Quest Objective store, for, you know, shirts and onesies does not equal cosplay.
It all comes down to like with cosplayers, it's advertisement. It's free advertisement for whatever game or video that they're. And the better they do it, the more like the character they are. Of course, the more fans they get, the more fans the anime.
Yeah, I just,
like, it all feeds back.
They get money by selling prints of themselves.
Yeah.
It's weird leap that it's made in becoming a profession.
It's like an offshoot of modeling.
But this is the thing. It's not just that one appearance at that particular thing.
Oh, no.
It's everything leading up to. They make their costumes, so there's all of that. They become seamstresses and leather workers and. They put that out on their social media accounts and they show that anyone can virtually do what they do with enough time and patience. And that following goes all the way through.
Yeah, I guess to
you
make
know.
It viable.
I feel that this could be a potential topic that we could put on questobjective.com without sort of delving too much into it.
Yeah, probably something to think about for another time.
There is
your opinions on cosplay.
Yeah, like, I still feel that you know there is a barrier that should not be crossed between you know loving
Sexifying.
Something and wanting to. You know, dress up as it as opposed to making it into a career. But hey, I'm a Twitch streamer.
We can definitely do
trying
some
to make
deep.
A living off sitting on your ass.
We can definitely do some deep dives into some of those topics on our YouTube channel, etc.
Yeah.
Over the coming month between now and next podcast.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing this podcast monthly,
so we're setting all these expectations for ourselves. By the way,
just don't mention the magazine.
Did I mention that I make a living off failures? I'm just living up to my name.
Don't mention the zine.
Mia?
The magazine.
Alright, so got to jump into some TV discussion now.
Yes.
So Stranger Things. It's a show that's been hitting up Netflix and has been blowing up on my Facebook feed about this 80s sort of esque TV show about a bunch
with
of kids.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah, of course. There's not going to be any spoilers in this, Chris.
Just because I binge watched the entire thing in a day.
Some of us haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, go and watch it. That's the
go
and
watch it.
I will.
No, I'll halfway through it.
Anyway, so Stranger Things is set in the 80s. It's about a country town that has, you know, some really seedy shit going on.
Or a county, as we figured out.
Or a county, whatever.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah, we call them towns. England calls them counties or villages. Then this place is like, you know, township in a county or pseudo state, whatever. I don't care.
It's a place.
It's a place.
It's a place.
Right.
It's a place.
Glad we've cleared that up. That's been established. Moving on.
Next so, 3 hours.
So basically, you got these four kids. One kid goes missing. They're trying to figure out where the fuck he's gone. Turns out that, you know, there's an alternate dimension. That's been...
And that's all we have to say about that.
And some stranger things.
Stranger things happening.
Spoiler.
I'm not a fan of all the old 80s style everything.
But they've done it so well. They're not. It's not just trying to be 80s. They've gone to great lengths and great detail
to set it in the
80s. This isn't just something where they've tried to go a bit retro. They've just the sets, the everything.
Yeah,
it's like as if you could take your high definition camera into 1983 or whatever,
like,
it was set in.
I was watching Freaks and Geeks, and it's got exactly the same feel.
It's a show set in that too. It's a period drama as much as, you know, when you do something like
1900s
Pride Bridges,
Victorian
Danger Five.
Danger 5, yes. Okay, so Danger 5 is obviously an accurate period piece.
And remember, kids, kill Hitler.
Don't forget to hear
remember, it. Always kill Hitler.
No, Kung Fury,
oh my god.
See?
Fucking amazing.
I like Kung Fury, but on reflection, it tries to do a lot of the same jokes that Danger 5 does, but Danger 5 did them better.
And Danger 5 was in Adelaide.
Yes, also Hunger Production, so go Danger 5!
Danger 5! I swear this could be a debate between me and you on the website.
No, I think Danger 5 is funnier. Much funnier.
Well, you can deep dive into that later. But Stranger Things, definitely worth a watch. It's on Netflix. I'm sure everybody has a Netflix subscription. But there's so many great pop culture references, especially around the time.
Yeah.
D&D plays a big part in the culture of the show.
Yeah.
Bicycles. Lots of bicycles.
Lots of bicycles. Well, what did you do in 1980? Ham radios. It's just overall really awesome.
Over.
Yeah, really, really awesome show. Go check it out.